Steady rain now in downtown Regina, that's for sure. I don't know if any of the underpasses are flooded yet this morning. Maybe I better ask Mayor Chad Baczynski. Sir, are you there?
Yes, sir.
Well, you're wearing a hard hat, safety vests, and steel-toed shoes right now. Would you be at an underpass checking to see if there's any flooding going on right now, or what is it?
No. I'm actually out at the public works yard this morning touring and talking to all the crews and folks out here. It's all the good work they're doing.
Okay. Well, no, nor have I heard. It's not that serious yet here, but we know how citizens can be. If there's water underneath the Albert Street overpass, they tend to go through it, but nothing yet. Why are you there dressed as you are?
Yeah, I'm out here just meeting all the different crews that are working out here in water, roadways, construction, to just getting to know the work that we're doing, how we're planning the work, and lots of great folks getting ready to get out there and make sure we're providing great service and getting roads fixed, making sure water's flowing, all the good stuff that we do in the city.
Okay, speaking of water, it's been a little tainted as of late. How much longer do you think we'll experience that, given what's going on at Buffalo Pound, the new treatment plant?
Yeah, it was a great timely question, Greg, being out here. So it should be, I think everything back to normal. So everything should be wrapping up right away here. So we should be seeing that all be back to normal immediately.
Okay. Hey, this plan to redevelop infrastructure on the old Taylor Field site has awakened itself again. It's been unused since 2017. Now, from what I understand at executive yesterday, it's got to be brought before council next week to be approved, but just to get the goods beneath the ground, right? All the engineering, the water, the infrastructure, the green space developed, it's going to cost in the neighborhood of $20 million, right?
Yep, that's right.
And half of that is going to get covered through the Canada Housing Infrastructure Fund. What about the rest of it? How is it all going to be covered?
Yeah, so just to clarify for the infrastructure fund, so we were one of 10 municipalities selected to actually apply to that. So we're applying for that. That was the approval that will go next week that we filed yesterday. So if we get that funding, we'll get $10 million out of that. So basically half of the funding required, and then the other half would be coming from the land development reserve.
Okay, so potentially, if this all comes through, when would all of this infrastructure be in place by? How long before that part would be done?
Yeah, we'd be looking to get that going next year would be going. So we'd be getting into design this year and be in construction next year.
Okay. And then following construction, clearly, you're looking for anyone to step up the plate and build. Does that mean with this sense of direction that you're going right now, something's already in the mix that you could see what would be going where the old Taylor Field site is now?
The first part you said was exactly right, is after we kind of get that rolling for the infrastructure part, somewhere in there would be a process to start looking at what that development would look like and looking for folks to come forward with plans. So we don't have that in hand yet, but that would be the next steps now that we have a path forward on the infrastructure.
Okay, so nobody's already approached you, said, hey, do this, and we're in.
Well, I think there's lots of people wanting to get at it. So there's a lot of excitement around it, which is great, but nothing's set yet.
Okay. I'll tell you what, right now you and I are a little sleepy because we stayed up watching the Oilers game here. And as an Oilers fan, I continue to suggest we will be in the Stanley Cup. I think I've always called it in my green zone bracket. It'll be the Florida Panthers. Were you shocked at the Leafs last night?
I mean, not really.
I take it you don't have any friends who are Leaf fans then.
I do, but I hope they're listening. So that's good.
How's your long weekend plans looking?
Good. Well, a little rainy, a little cold, I think, but it's going to be mostly focused on some family time and that.
So. Okay. Well, you have a good long weekend, Mayor. I appreciate the update. I know there's not a lot happening until council next week, but we'll check in with you next Thursday, okay?
Sounds fantastic. Cause I'm gonna make this place your home. Settle down, it'll all be clear.
Well, check her out. They're home in the downspouts. Are they all down? And we're getting a pretty good rain here in Regina. Some areas, a heck of a lot more rain, like Estevan, Carlisle, Carnduff could see 50 to 80 millimeters. That's 2 or 3 inches of rain right there. Some spots, 100 mils, 4 inches. And the heaviest likely towards the Sask-US border. But even here in the city, we could get an inch of rain by the time we are done. Good soaking rain this time of the season for growing. It's always welcome. I just know that it's a little disappointing when you have the May-long weekend and camping starts and you want to get out to the cabin and you hope for better weather walking around the garden centers. But, hey, 13 and sunshine Saturday, Sunday, then it's eventually going to come. Just want to give a shout-out away from home. Lieutenant Governor Bernadette McIntyre met King Charles apparently yesterday and gave him a few homegrown gifts, jar of dill pickle mustard, some lentil and chickpea snacks. Good for Bernadette. She's just a nice lady and a great community volunteer all these years now. Lieutenant Governor representing us there with the King. That was cool. Sounds like we're in for another mail strike here, doesn't it? Canada Post saying talks with the Postal Workers Union have gone nowhere. And if a new deal isn't reached in the next week, we could see another strike. So last time when they went on strike, they had the leverage of Christmas parcels, but I don't know what their leverage is this time of the year, but it's a possibility. I had a chance to catch up with Sutton Group Results Realtor Lori Patrick ahead of her show Inside Real Estate this weekend. I wanted to know what the real estate market was like here in Regina. Here's what Lori told me.
You know, I think there's a little bit of a shift, ever so slight shift in the real estate winds. Not quite as many competing offers. Well, there still are competing offers, but maybe not quite as many bids on one particular house. And the prices aren't going quite as high over in some cases.
Okay, there's not as many competing offers because demand isn't there, or how does that work?
I think demand is still pretty high. There's buyers are getting a little market weary, I think. You know, a lot of them have competed and lost out. Taking a little break, the inventory's starting to climb up. You still have to price well. You still have to price according to market conditions as a seller. You can overprice in a seller's market. And that just makes you stand out more because then buyers are asking, what's wrong? Why didn't that sell?
So you're saying that if I think I have a home that's worth, say, $600,000, that's what I believe it to be worth. But you might tell me you're about $50,000 too much there.
Mm-hmm. Strategic pricing is actually pretty smart right now. So if I'm going to list something at six, I might list it at 580, right? If I'm thinking, because when you list it on the lower end, you tend to get more buyers through the door and oftentimes more competing offers. And they go higher. If you list it right at your high watermark, you don't get as many.
So buyers or seller's market right now?
Seller. It's still a seller's market.
There you go. Lori Patrick, Inside Real Estate, this weekend, Saturday morning. Well, from Saskatoon, Coach Corey Mace seems pretty pleased with how Ryder training camp is going. Here he is after day four.
You know, I think right now I'm really excited about how our offense is moving the ball in the run game. You know, all of our quarterbacks are seeing it real nice. Our receivers are running great routes. I think defensively, you know, throwing a little bit more on their plate and how they're handling that, it looks really good.
Joining me now from Ryder training camp himself is our CJME Ryder reporter, Britton Gray. Good morning.
Good morning, Greg.
I hope you got an umbrella. Do you think you'll need one there in Saskatoon today?
Well, maybe. Actually, my time at training camp came to an end yesterday. I drove back to Regina.
Well, so, no one told me.
Yeah, clearly.
Jeez, I'm always the last one.
Shane Clausen will be the last one to cover it, but it was a good day yesterday. The sun was shining, probably the best day of training camp so far weather-wise, which makes sense because it was my last day out there.
All right, the Riders having already dealt with an injury on the O-line. What happened here?
Yeah, Sean McEwen tweaked something, and obviously he's the center they brought in from Calgary, an all-star center, so it was tough to see him. He was just on the sideline, sitting in a chair. Had to use crutches, though when asked about it, Corey Mace didn't have much of an update. He just said that they want to get some more tests done on it. They want some people to continue to look at it. And it's nothing they're too stressed about right now. But we'll see what happens as they do these tests because people are having deja vu already. They had 13 different offensive line start games last year and already now a big injury. So we'll see how serious that is.
Who was getting the reps then?
Zach Fry was actually taking the reps at center. We all kind of thought it'd be Logan Ferland moving there, but no, it was Zach Fry. Fry apparently worked on kind of snapping and being a center in the offseason in case something like this were to happen. And as Corey Mace said, it's an opportunity for someone else to show off their versatility there.
You know, I haven't asked you much about this week is Trevor Harris, quarterback. How's he been looking?
Yesterday was his best day of training camp so far. He really looked dialed in, very accurate with the passes. And that's kind of what Trevor Harris has done the past few training camps. The first few days, kind of working off the rust. He throws some interceptions. But then as it kind of continues on, he gets a little bit crisper, a little bit more accurate. And, yeah, definitely his best day yesterday.
Writer, reporter, Britton Gray, thinking Sam Emulis looking sharp yesterday as well?
Yeah, he was. He had one of the plays of the day where he went up big for a pass, got actually hit by two defenders, and they all came down hard, but he came up, held onto the ball, popped up right away, punted the ball right downfield. He was amped up for it, and he's having a really good camp. And also, I'd have to say Marcus Sales, the defensive back there as well, he's probably been the most consistent player through camp. He already looks to be in midseason form as well, so this defense looks like, once again, it could be among the best units in the league.
Okay, well, that's good to hear. Now we get ready for the green and white game, I guess, too, right?
Yeah, absolutely. That's on Saturday. That's a big day for the Riders because that's kind of the dress rehearsal. They get all the new guys and just how a game day looks. They do all the warm-up. They do the running out onto the field and everything. So that's a big day for them. And then it's hard to believe, I think it's, 9 days now until we have a preseason game. It's right around the corner.
Wow, I can't believe it. Well, good reporting. Welcome back to Regina. And appreciate everything you've covered for us. We'll be in touch soon. Okay, Britton?
All right. Looking forward to it.
Well, is it true? Not as many Canadians flying to the U.S. right now out of, disdain for Trump's comments about Canada wanting us to become the 51st state, tariffs. The numbers seem to be down. Round-trip flights to the U.S. declined 20% last month as more Canadians are choosing to vacation, say, overseas. Well, it's kind of bad timing for a new flight that's coming this week to Regina Airport. Direct flights to Denver start up here. James Bogus, CEO of the Regina Airport, joining me now. Good morning, James.
Hey, good morning, Greg. How you doing?
I'm well. Let's face facts. Denver is a great hub. It's a great opportunity, and it's off to a bit of a success, believe it or not, isn't it?
Well, so far, advanced bookings, we've had United out now doing training for about 6 weeks for the ground handling companies and the various crews. But just talking with them yesterday, got our first arrival this evening coming in from Denver, and then the inaugural departure is tomorrow. And the flight is well over 80% or getting close to actually near sold. So that's very good on the first flight. Now, the future, though, is concerning. We are seeing, obviously, some softening of transborder numbers. And this month of May, I'm finally going to have my first year-over-year comparable, given that we've got that Minneapolis flight operating. Going to have that data pretty soon, Greg. I'll be very interested to see what that's going to look like.
What's the indication of that Minneapolis flight? Is that performing well still?
We're still seeing reasonable loads. But, I mean, you know, when I look at the sentiment of what I'm seeing out there, not quite the same as it was a couple of months ago. I'm seeing some, more propensity for travel, talking to folks in the hold room. This is the area you wait for the plane, going to Minneapolis, connecting through Minneapolis. You know, Delta's really opened up different opportunities through MSP now that we didn't have a few months ago. You can even buy, for example, Las Vegas through Delta now, which you couldn't before. And there's still some folks going. So it's a mixed bag, Greg. I don't want to be too optimistic here. These are small planes, thankfully. There are not a lot of seats to fill. And I think that's why we're seeing success in the Regina market. And we're not seeing the reductions you're hearing about in some of the other markets in terms of, planes getting cut.
Yeah, and dollar exchange makes a difference, too, for a lot of people. You mentioned Vegas last night as the Oilers won in Vegas. There was a lot of cheering. So there was a lot of Canadians in Vegas, no matter what the facts might suggest right now. But again, Denver is a great hub, too. And, even if you use Denver, you can move on to Rome direct from there. It's just a good hub. It might make a difference in your planning, too, right?
It's huge. You know, Denver is number 6 in the world. We have to consider the scale of this. It's a mega hub for United. And, you know, even comparing to a place like Toronto Pearson, not to suggest that's small, but it's smaller than Denver by a wide margin. So this is a great opportunity for U.S. connections, but as you say, also overseas. You know, we think about the opportunities that you get into, you know, Europe or maybe even South America. Denver's amazing. So regardless of where you're going, whether you check Air Canada, whether you check WestJet, also check United.com. See where those connections are, even if it's not the United States.
James Bogus from the Regina Airport. Really quick, how might we lose these flights? I don't want to think about it as you don't want to think about it. But is it a month or two if it really did continue to get worse, or do you even know?
No, these flights, and thankfully we've got a very pro-business community, pro-business province. These flights have been backed up by what we call minimum revenue guarantees. So we've got that on the Denver flight. We've got that on the Minneapolis flight. So what that means, we're helping the airline out for an initial period. It's going to be at least a few years before we would look at any major concern, unless something very structural happens to the network. I'm not going to talk about COVID anymore, but, you know, something catastrophic or something we can't anticipate.
Okay.
Softened revenues, that's not going to cause the flight to be canceled in the short term. We're making sure with financial help, if needed only, that these flights will be supported.
When do the direct flights to Halifax start? That's another great hub to go to Europe.
Sure is. June 29th, and we're going to have that once-per-week flight with WestJet departing YQR on Sundays. It's going to be a great opportunity for Europe. Also Halifax, man. Check out that Citadel. There's lots to do downtown, and hopefully get some people coming out here. I know Tourism Regina and a whole bunch of us are excited. Hopefully welcome some folks from Halifax to Regina here.
Well, and is it true that if you book that first direct flight to Halifax, the Regina Airport, you're throwing a lobster fest as they board?
Hey, well, we did give a flight away to Denver. I don't know if you saw that on our social media, but no, we're not doing Lobster Fest, but we got great food in the terminal building. Come enjoy the 306 Bistro and Bar and grab a bite on the way out. And-